Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. You're so amazing. Lord, you're so amazing. And we worship you this night. Lord, right now, just fill our cups full to overflowing. Lord, Psalms 23, you said we have a cup. Lord, that you fill. That you have, we have a table that you said that you'd prepare before our enemies ever get there. So that we could sit down and fellowship with you and have joy and have peace. And have an overflowing in our lives. So, Lord, I just declare right now tonight there is a refreshing in the hearts of each and every person here tonight. Lord, just a refreshing in our spirits this night. Just blowing and flowing in us. Just blowing and flowing in us, Lord, tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just reach over to that person by you and just start praying that over. And just pray and say, Lord, just let there be a refreshing this night. Lord, just a refreshing this night. A refreshing, Lord, this night. Just a refreshing, Lord, this night. Bless them, Lord. Lord, fill their cups full to overflowing. Just full to overflowing, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And look at that person beside you and say, you know, be refreshed tonight. Be refreshed tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Praise God. Sweet, sweet presence of the Lord here tonight. That refreshing, just filling up. Good, clean, Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Get your Bibles out and go to the book. I won't even say anything. Go to the book of Romans. 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 8. Being Easter Sunday, preaching on the resurrection, you know, I think we miss it so much. You know, I don't want to beat up on people that come on a Sunday, on an Easter Sunday, you know, but I mean, I did make a few jabs Sunday about, you know, that people just only had to come, you know, twice a year, going to come Easter and going to come Christmas and whatever. And then talking about the resurrection, it's kind of like having communion. You know, a lot of people just go through a communion service, just take communion because it's just a ritual. It's what you've always done, you know. And they think about Jesus, you know, and the resurrection. And it's like, yeah, that's a story. Yeah, he rose from the dead. But, you know, you really got to think about this whole situation. You really got to sit back and kind of contemplate and chew on the resurrection a little bit because, Jesus, he was alive. Walked on the face of the earth just like me and you. And they killed him. And then the third day, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, hit that grave. And he came back to life. But he came back to life with the ability to just walk through the walls and walk in there to the disciples and say, hey, y'all got anything to eat? I really love that about the Lord. I mean, just think about it. When we get to heaven, the first thing we do is we have a supper. When Jesus in John 21, when he came to the disciples at the end, you know, he already had fish cooked, right? And then when he met them right there after the resurrection, he says, hey, man, y'all got anything to eat? I mean, so I'm glad that Jesus is always thinking about eating, you know? I mean, it's pretty certain you're not going to go hungry in heaven, you know? But the resurrection, the power of God hit the body of Jesus and he was raised from the dead. He wasn't a zombie. He wasn't decomposed. It was something so magnificent, something so astounding, something so glorious that even the disciples that had seen blind Bartimaeus have his sight, that had seen lepers, skin falling off, losing a finger, you know, ear dropped off last night, and Jesus healed them. They just got through seeing in the garden just a few days before, Jesus put a man's ear back on his head that they had lopped off with a sword. Yet the resurrection freaked them all out. They couldn't believe in it. I don't know. You just stick a guy's ear back on his head that was just laying there bloody, and it's back on his head. That's pretty impressive. Right? I mean, if blind Bartimaeus, somebody could have said, well, he was faking it all his life. He wasn't really blind. I mean, you know. Y'all with me? But, I mean, you just put a guy's ear back on 3 days ago, and then the ladies come back in and say, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and you, what? You're out of your minds. There's no way. But Jesus raised the boy right out of the coffin at the city of Nain, the widow's son, raised him to life, raised Lazarus. But yet the resurrection, they couldn't handle it. So in my mind, when I'm looking at that, I'm saying it was like an elevated stretch for the apostles, for some reason. We just accept it. Y'all with me? Okay, so in saying all that, let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Apostle Paul saying right there to the Roman church that the same power that causes Jesus' body to be resurrected lives and dwells in you. Then why do we get so weak? Why do we fail? Why do we do what we do? Why are we at it with a lack of faith? Why are we the resurrection power? That means, you know, it's like, now, I may be stepping way out of bounds here. This thought just came to me, but and y'all don't laugh if I get too off, okay, here. But just think about it. I don't know where the atom was that got split that made the atom bomb, but it was floating around forever, and then somebody figured it out. Are y'all with me? Hey, if we chop this little atom, we'll make a big bomb. Or Just think about this. I mean, like I said, I may just be so off on this. Y'all just had to burn the tape and tell me I'm just wrong. But just think, my mind's thinking. Okay? I mean, scientists sitting around a table one day said, what if we split an atom? What do you think would happen? I don't know. Maybe they theorized it for a long time. Until finally one day somebody said, I don't know, let's do it. Let's split an atom and see what happens. But let's go out there to the desert where there ain't nothing around. And okay, something goes wrong. And let's just back off as far away as we can because we don't really know what's going to happen. But let's chop this baby in half. And then when they did it, this power was released, right? And I'm saying that power is nothing. That's a destructive power. That's nothing to the life-giving resurrection power that dead can't even stay dead. According to Matthew's gospel, man, when Jesus died, and if you tie it all in with the book of Ephesians and everything, and he went to hell, the next thing you knew, man, the graves were popping open. People walking around. I mean, knock the lids off of coffins. So much life that death couldn't contain it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, this is really good preaching. It's good to me right now. I'm liking, I'm taking, I'm grabbing it. I mean, I'm talking about there's so much life that death couldn't keep it. That it's like the atom bomb. It split and poof, life just erupted. And that power lives in you. So think of it this way. You got some atoms floating around. If you ever split them, they'd explode. But you never thought about looking for it. You never thought about it. If the resurrection power of Jesus on the inside, why do we get defeated? And I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you tonight. I'm just going to let you in on the secret. I'm going to tell you. Let's read a little farther. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Number one reason, we live according to the flesh. Okay? For if you live according to the flesh, you die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, the problem is we're more flesh-minded than we're spirit-minded. And I'm not saying flesh, like, you a bunch of carnal. No, I'm just saying we're more I'm throwing the two words together. Conscious. Thank you. We're more conscious of the things of the flesh than the things of the Spirit. We're more mindful. Paul used it then, so we're more mindful. Okay? Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, I told you Sunday that, and I don't even know how I got over there on it, but I got talking about, about identities and who you are. And the problem is, we keep living by the flesh and seeing ourselves in the flesh, and we keep seeing ourselves as mess-ups, as problems, as weak, as whatever, like I went through the deal. We've labeled ourselves, or the world's labeled us, and we accepted it. And we accepted that label. What we're doing is we're not seeing the label God's put on us as sons of God. Where your spirit cries out, Abba, Father. That there's something greater on the inside of you than anything this world could throw at you. But as long as we stay flesh-minded, our mind doesn't think in those lines. Our mind thinks over here in the flesh. And it's not thinking over here that we're sons of God. We're not thinking about that we're saints. I read this book a long time ago, and this is way back in the 80s, about this woman, I believe it was, or this person, I don't remember exactly, but had a vision of heaven, and all these angels were standing there, and they had dust on them, And they were just standing there like little statues. And she asked the Lord, what does it mean? And he says, well, that's all the angels. That's all the ministering angels that should be ministering for the saints. But they don't use them. And that really impacted me. It's like, wow, you think about there's a whole arsenal in heaven that you could be using, but you didn't use it, you know? And it's just sitting up there dusty, and it could be yours, and it could be used, and your life could have been so much easier, and things could have been so much better. And Ephesians 1 and 3, all the blessings of heaven that are yours could have just been walking in your life, but you didn't ever look at it because you didn't learn it, you didn't walk in it, you didn't, you know? Wow. I don't want to be that person. I think the tears that we shed when we get to heaven is all the things that we see that we could have done that we didn't do. You know? I think that's the tears. I think we look at it and say, oh my gosh, you mean I didn't have to walk through that? Or if I would have, I could have walked through it in joy. That there was a bucket of joy sitting there with my name on it that I didn't dip into. Isaiah 12, a well of salvation we could have dipped into and we didn't. Okay, let's read on. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we're children of God. And if children, oh wait a minute, excuse me, then heirs. And heirs of God. And joint heirs with him, with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we might also be glorified together. It's not enough. It's not enough that he says you're going to be a son, but you're a son with an inheritance. And he said, well, Pastor, I understand what you're saying. I hear it. I want it. I want to walk in it, but I don't see that moving in my life. Well, I can tell you, I promise you, I'm not saying this arrogantly. I know I'm right because I can read it in the Word. There's not any problem on God's part. It's on our part. We don't see it. I'm just telling you. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm just telling you, there are things that God wants to do for us that we just don't. We our minds, we don't comprehend it. Because we're trying to do it by our brain and our flesh and our understanding, and you cannot understand the things of God. You say, well, if you don't understand, how do you do it? By faith, you gotta walk in it. Come on. Who's gonna dream up you're in the middle of a Red Sea? You're up against a Red Sea and we're gonna part it. Could Moses have thought that one up?
Oh, it'll be okay, folks, in the morning. I'm sure God's going to do something. If I was God, I'd just part that sea.
Are y'all with me? Which would you think would be easier for you to believe? Translation? You know, like you just blinked your eyes and then you were on the other side? Or for God to part the Red Sea? Which would you think you would easier be able to believe for? How many vote translation? How many vote Red Sea parting? You would be easier to believe the Red Sea would part? You're just. How many of y'all have ever had a deja vu moment? You know? I had a person tell me one time, he was a doctor, and he told me that deja vus are from some chemical or something in your brain that stimulates some certain part of your brain, and at that moment you makes you think that you've been there before. I don't know if that's true. That's just what he said. But I want to tell you something. I had a deja vu today that I was like, you know how you get that sense when you have one of those moments, that deja vu moment, you're like, I've been here before. I just did this. Did time just go backwards? And I was just like, I mean, it always freaks me out because I don't have them a lot, but when it happens to me, it's so freaky. It's freaky. Can y'all agree? It's freaky. And when it happens, you're freaky and you're like, what is that? And I always pray, always like, Jesus, is there something? You know, are you trying to show me something here or what? Or is this just, you know? What just happened? Just freaking out here. Okay. That's just, what if it was just a chemical that went through your brain and stimulated some part of it? And we're talking about you got zipped somewhere? You just close your eyes the next minute you were somewhere else? Man, it's pretty freaky. It's nothing for God. God wasn't sitting up at the throne saying, I think I can pull it off. I'm just saying, folks, if you live in the flesh and you're mindful of the things of the flesh and the flesh is all you look at and all the things that are around you is the flesh, well, then what happens is then you don't have any capacity to, because you're trying to fit God into your capacity. And you're trying to say, okay, God, I think that, you know, oh, I can believe you for this. And you're trying to find, like, God's not interested in your ideas. He put resurrection power on the inside of you and said, let me just blow so much life into a situation that death can exist. There's just a novel idea right there. You're sick in body and you need to be healed. Wow, just get so much life in you that death can't exist. Oh, it's already there. You don't have to get anything. He just said, it's in you. Well, brother, I mean, let's be Pentecostal about it for a minute. I think we need to tarry at the altar for, you know, and see if we can't bring, you know, the power down. I thought it was in me. Okay, another scripture. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 3:7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even that it was made glorious, for even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away. Now listen. Moses didn't veil his face because there's so much glory shining out of his face that it was going to freak everybody out. He veiled his face because when he came walking down, when Charlton Heston came walking down the mountain, holding the Ten Commandments, right? And he came to the camp. He was glowing. Why was he glowing? Because he'd been up in the glory of God. He'd been up there talking with God, and the glory was on him. And when he came down, everybody's like, wow. Okay. How many of you, freedom prayer people, somebody's got saved, somebody's been under oppression, and they get set free, and you look in their face, and you can see, and you say, man, I see, you got a touch of God. I said, you know, we'll call it whatever, you know. Man, you really got blessed. I can see it all over your face. You look so good, right? What is it? It's a little tiny glimpse of the glory, right? Now listen to this. This is so good. And I can guarantee you I didn't have this when I walked in the building a minute ago. But the more I get into it, the more I like it. So Moses was dwindling. He put the veil over his face because he didn't want anybody to see that the glory was fading. And say, Moses, you don't look as good as you used to. He didn't want them whispering. You know, Moses, he's not as bright as he used to be. So he just put a veil over his face. You know, I don't know. I've tried to imagine what. You know, I see him like in a beekeeper's hat with a big veil. I don't know. I you know, big something like this that hung way out, you know, really looked like something, you know, I don't know. But his was fading. Now, wait a minute. He said, now that was glorious. But he said, what is that ministry of the law that was basically under condemnation? Everybody was under condemnation because the only reason why you, every time you went to church, you just knew how many times you'd broke the law and that there's no way you could be righteous before God, so it was terrible. He said, now that ministry right there had some glory to it, that even Moses' face was glowing. But this ministry we're talking about, what ministry? The ministry of Romans 8, that the resurrection power of God is on the inside of us, that the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us, the same resurrection power that knocked Jesus out of the grave, knocked all the hell out of there, that lives in you. And if that's the way that we're supposed to be walking, then he's saying if Moses was veiling it because it was fading, but yours is supposed to be growing, growing, and growing, and growing. You're the Spirit of God on the inside of you is supposed to be getting bigger and bigger, so that people are looking at you all the time and saying, wow, do you notice, man, I don't know, you look so shiny. As much as you may not like it, you're supposed to make people who are not right with Jesus uncomfortable by just your presence. You don't even have to preach. The convicting power of God is just supposed to just cause people to be uncomfortable without saying anything. Why? Because glory is abounding on the inside of you. Okay? Back to why don't we walk in it? Okay, I told you we're thinking about the flesh. Let's read on. 14, but their minds were blinded. Folks, I want to tell you something. Just hold your finger right there. I want to tell you something. You need to pray every day, God, don't let my mind be blinded. Don't let my mind be blinded. Because when you're blinded in your mind, the glory of God can be sitting right beside you and you won't even notice it. This is so bad, and this is the truth. I am telling you the absolute gospel truth. When my wife was gone, she told me, she gave me some instructions before she left the house. And one of it was that she did not want me to, she didn't want to come home and see the same dish rag or the same hand towel in the kitchen. Because, you know, I'll use the same one. If it's only until it's stiff or it runs off, I'm not going to change. And she said, Robert, you need to change it every week. Don't come spend a month with the same thing. And she says, you're just wiping bacteria everywhere. You can't do this. And she gave me this big lecture. So, I'm a good husband. I want to be a good husband. I want to do right. So, you know, after a week, I thought, I ought to get a new hand towel. And I thought, I wonder where the hand towels are. No. I've only been married to this woman, you know, for... Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I was thinking about it. I've been married for 36 years, but I'm thinking back. We've been living in our house for 10 or 12 years, and I didn't know where the dish towel was. And so I thought, well, it's probably over here in this drawer, and I pulled it out, and there was a rag. There was something in there. You know, I don't know if it was the official dish towel or not, but I got it, and I used it for week two. And so then when she comes home, I said to her, look, I just want to know, you know, I really tried to do it, but I said, where do you keep the hand towels? She's like, Robert. And I said, really, I'm serious. Where do you keep the hand towels? And she says, come here. And she takes me over there in front of the microwave sitting there, and she says, look up just a little bit. And I swear, I don't know how long it's been there. I swear. I am not joking. I never noticed that right above the microwave, literally sitting on top of the microwave, right back there was a basket with all the hand towels rolled up and stuck in there. Never noticed it. Yeah, I just, oh yeah, I actually, the package of tortillas I set up on top of there, I reached for them, and then right there was the hand towel. Never noticed it. It was like she says, Robert, there's the hand towels right there, and it was like a new world opened up. It was like, I didn't even know we had that room in the house. I was like, wow. And I'm not exaggerating. I was dumbfounded that that's where they were. So you don't think that we could have someplace blinded in our mind that we're not seeing something when I can't even see the dish towels 4 inches above the tortillas? And it was like a revelation. I mean, it was like my mind opened. I was like, wow. And then I couldn't quit looking at them. I was like, I can't believe those things sitting over there. I mean, you know, it's one thing you're trying to find something hidden in the refrigerator and you're having to dig through to try to find it and it was up on the other shelf or something. That's one thing. I'm telling you, that thing's sitting there in the broad open daylight. You say, well, Robert, how could you miss that? I'm not looking for a hand towel. I don't ever walk in there for a hand towel. She's always at the house. She's got the hand towel out. The hand towel's laying right over there. I know where the hand towel's going to be laying. It's always laying on front of the handle of the oven. See, I look for hand towel. My brain says, it's down here low somewhere. I remember it's by the oven somewhere. I couldn't look up here and see there's a hand towel. Oh, we're needing something from Jesus, but see, we're looking at this one spot because, see, we're doing it by the flesh. We're not hearing the voice of Jesus say to us, would you look up? Amen. It's above the microwave. Right? We're not looking at that. We're trying to figure it out. And the longer we've been serving the Lord, the worse we can get at this. Because we just keep going through the same motions, doing the same thing, looking at the same everything. We just get so focused on these things that we do know about Jesus that we're not letting Him expand anything in our lives when there's resurrection power on the inside of us and we're not looking for it. Why? Our minds are blinded. Well, how did they get blinded? Well, I read on. But even this day when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Wow, look at that. 16, there's your answer. How do you get the veil off? How do you get him to do it? The Lord's got to take it away. How's he going to take it away? He's going to talk to you. Now, the Lord is a spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. But we all with unveiled faces behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord as being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now skip down to chapter 4, verse 4. Well, 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing. Now I know he's talking here about people that aren't saved. But look who's doing this. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Who's blinding them? The God of this world, the devil. He's blinding their minds. So who's going to be blind in your mind? The God of this world. I mean, folks, I hate to even go there, but, you know, I mean, there can be preachers that are well-meaning, that love Jesus, but they can preach a gospel that's not motivated by the Spirit of God, that's motivated by the God of this world, and puts people in bondage more than it puts people in liberty and freedom. And he's well-meaning, and that's the way he was trained. But if the devil blinds everybody's minds, and they're blinded, when you're blinded, you don't, you know, you can't see, you don't know it, and you just keep going down the same path. That's why it's so important for us. Every morning you should be praying, God, I don't want to be blind. I don't care how you put it into words. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be blind. I want to see you. Show me. I want to find the towels. Because then the world opens up. And then all of a sudden the resurrection power, it's sitting in you, folks. You got to tap it. It's sitting in you. You got to tap that resurrection power. And then seas part and eyes open and lepers are healed and all kinds of glory happens. People get saved and things happen you didn't even know it. And one day you're just driving your car and you end up in another city and you just got translated and you didn't even know it. I had people tell me all the time when I was in Russia that there was a minister in Russia that he would travel to church to church to church, but he always was translated. And I was like, what? I mean, like he had a really fast car, or are we getting the right word here? And so I said, how did it work? And they said, I don't know. He didn't know. He would just start preaching in one church, and then he would leave the church because he didn't have a car, and he would walk to the next town he was going to, and he'd just start walking, and then he just ended up in that town. You know, and then he just went in that church and preached, and then he just got through preaching, he left and walked and started walking, and then he was just being in another town. So he didn't know how he got there, he didn't know what he did, but he just did it every Sunday. He said it was the only way he could visit. He would have to ask him, where am I? Oh, well, you know, you're in such and such a place. Oh, okay. Travel hundreds, thousands of miles, whatever, just by walking, but didn't even know how he did it. Now, you know, I mean, that's a lot to stomach if we look at it by the mind. I mean, translation is not hard for me to believe because I can read the Bible, it happened. It's not like maybe, possibly. Right? It's not hard for me to believe because I can see it happen. And I just know that if God wants us to walk in these end times, and he wants us to walk victoriously, we've got to break those barriers. And the only way I know to tell you to break the barriers is we've got to pray. We've got to tell the devil, no, you're not going to blind me anymore. We've got to pray that the eyes of understanding be enlightened. We've got to pray daily that God to give us the eyes to see, the heart to hear, the, you know, whatever. However God impresses you to pray, but we have got to be yearning for. Not, listen, okay, let me just stop for a second. Not the traditional Pentecostal revival type thing where we pray, oh God, let your spirit fall. I just believe in you tomorrow for a great move of the spirit in the church and it to fall on the people and God to show. No. I'm telling you, I'm talking to you tonight. You to pray and say, God, open my eyes. Let me see. Because folks, I'm just telling you, I don't need very many people, including myself, to get my eyes open, to see things. I mean, Jesus changed the world to 11 people. Just think about that. He changed the world with 11 people. Stayed with them for 3.5 years and he left. So what I'm saying to you is, it's just, I'm talking to us. Don't get caught up in the old religious revival type situation. Get in there and say, Lord, I want to see, I want to behold you. Jesus, I want to see you. And let that resurrection power that's on the inside of you out. Let your eyes be open. See it. Your whole everything can change. And don't think with your mind. Don't let the devil blind your mind. And don't look at the things of the flesh or only what we have learned or know by our ways. I'm telling you, man, we'll see things. You'll have more joy than you've ever known before. You have more peace than you've ever known before. I mean, just to get a revelation that you're a son of God and that you're an heir. That's why I have a hard time wanting to stay around here. I mean, seriously. You get a revelation of heaven, get a revelation of what's on the other side. Why don't we mess with this place? You know? I mean, goodness. I mean, I kind of want to be involved in a terrorist situation. You know, I may run out there and say, kill me, kill me. Just tackle the guy and hang on to him. He said, pull it, pull it. You're not getting any virgins, but I'm going to heaven. Yeah. I don't know. I'm being silly about that, but I just want to see it, man. I want to see the power of God. I mean, this is what, I mean, the Bible tells us this is ours, church. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. So you got a job. You know what to do. Amen? Well, praise God. Brother Bill? I got a little note up here. The Baptist Church is having a movie night tomorrow night. I understand that they got kegs of beer and popcorn. Anybody wants to show up over there? They said they were going to throw one down and there'll be a dance afterwards. So now everybody will show up to see what's going to happen. Yeah, it's that movie called War Room. It's about a prayer, basically, miracles and whatever. So it's tomorrow night, Thursday night, 7 p.m. It's free. Praise God. $150 rednecks show up over there. Where's your beer? I'm sorry. All right. Well, praise God. Put your hand in your offering. Let me get out. I'm going to work myself out of this. Hey, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you a lot. Lord, everything I'm saying tonight, The things you want to do are so amazing, Lord. And that the blessings you want to pour upon us are so amazing. And I just thank you as we give tonight in our offerings, Lord, we just said that you can do exceedingly abundant beyond we can even think or ask. And Lord, we just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell y'all a story while we're taking the offering up. You know, I've seen some pretty wild things in my life. And some of you may already know this story, but anyway, years ago I was in Mexico and I was preaching, and I was in this little church, and it was real small, and it was dark, and it was dingy, and they were having this little service, and anyway, long story short, I was with Sister Annie, and she called for an altar call to come up, and so there wasn't very many people up there, 6-8 people, and so I didn't do anything. I was just sitting back, and Sister Annie, this young boy came up, and Sister Annie asked me to come pray for him. And so it was one of those times that, you know, I really wasn't, I mean, I was believing God for, you know, whatever. I felt like I was full of faith, but it was just, I don't know, you just had to have been there to see the situation. I just really wanted to leave, to be honest with you. It was just icky in the whole place, and it was oppressive and whatever, and I just was like, oh, man, let's go somewhere else. This is pretty rough. So anyway, I went up to the young man, and I reached over and I just put my hand on him. When I did, this young man I literally barely got my hand on his head, and this guy just shot back like I'd have punched him right in the face. And he just hit the floor, and he skidded, like, on his back. It was a concrete floor, and he just, and I was like, holy moly. And I was just, I was on the floor with him, and I was just like, wow, what was that? And this kid just kind of flopped around there like a fish out of water for a little bit. And I was like, wow, I've never seen anything like that, Lord. And so in a minute, then I felt like, hey, man, the meeting's on, so let's pray for somebody else. And so I went to praying for some other people and came back over there. And that young man, they had him up in a chair, and there was a bunch of people around him. Everybody looked kind of concerned. And so I walked over to see what was going on. And he's sitting there, and he's holding his throat. And it's almost like he's gagging. And I'm like, wow. I said, what's going on? I said, he can't talk. And I said, oh, he's mute? And he said, no, he could talk before you prayed for him, but now he can't talk. I'm like, seriously? And I said, I said, seriously, he can't. He said, yeah, he's panicked. He's just freaking out because he can't talk. He can't speak. And I said, wow. And so everybody's over there. And, of course, you know, you've got a whole line of people and everybody's praying everything that they can think of. They're just throwing everything, you know, in. We've got one section, they're binding the devil. Got the other section, they're calling down the spirit. And the other section, you know, they're doing this, and somebody's throwing the word, and somebody's just praying in tongues as loud as they can, you know, and I'm just sitting there looking at him. And the Lord just says to me, leading in a sinner's prayer. And I'm like, how do you lead a guy that can't talk in a sinner's prayer? So I just knelt down beside the kid, and I said, listen, I said, you know, I know you can't talk, but just hear what I'm saying. I said, you know, Jesus died for you, and I just went through a little deal like this, and I said, you know, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Just right now in your heart, accepting to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And as soon as I said that, the kid just burst out. He jumped to his feet. He raised his hands. And he just started to just prophesy out of his mouth. Of course, it's all in Spanish, you know. And so he's just at the top of his lungs, just prophesying. So he's going so fast, I can't keep up with him. I don't know what he's saying. So I grab somebody and say, what's he saying? What's he saying? What's he saying? So he says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back with on barges of wealth. And I'm coming back before the end. Get ready. Be prepared. Now, then the kid sat down, you know, he began to weep and cry, quit prophesying, you know, he stopped, started to weep, everybody's over there, now they're all rejoicing, and everybody's praying with him, and he's all, you know, so, you know, I just kind of made my way out the side and around the door and got out of the middle of it, and so somebody came outside and said, hey, you know about that kid? And he said, oh, yeah, that was the pastor's son. I said, really? Is the pastor's son? He said, yeah, he's been gone from the Lord for years. He left the church, left the pastor, left home. He's been gone for years, just having to come to the meeting. And he said in his heart, when he came into church, he says, he went up for prayer. Of course, this is a good thing when you're not that fluent in Spanish, you don't know all these things, you know. He said he came up arrogantly saying, if God, if you're really real, you better show me something. So that was the attitude of the kid standing there. I lay hands on him. That happens. Flops around the floor. He said he saw a vision of hell, saw himself falling into hell, saw the whole thing. That's when he couldn't speak. That he felt like the devil had him because then he couldn't ask for salvation. And he was, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that's what led to everything for them, him prophesying about the end times. All I want to say is that was all pretty freaky. I mean, that's pretty over the top, in my opinion. Of God doing a work like that. How could I have ever known it? I blundered into it. I did nothing other than do what Sister Annie asked me to do. Pray for that kid. Knew nothing. I didn't feel anything. When I laid hands on him, it shocked me because I didn't feel anything. I just walked up and put my hand on his head and he just shot. I had no idea anything else was going on. My point is, and the Holy Ghost just reminded me to tell you all that. I was only doing and being obedient to do what he said to do. He did the rest. And we got to get out of our minds to where we're trying to figure it from the start to the end. And we just got to know what he's telling us to do and be obedient in it with our eyes open. And then that kind of movement will happen. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Tonight they're having the pastor's conference in Progreso. I talked to Sister Annie today, and I was praying with them. And I just want us to pray and ask you to pray for the rest of the week. They'll be there through this week. It's so funny because it's supposed to be only the northern churches to come to Progreso. Because it's closer, but the people have come all the way up from way down in the interior to get up here and travel through cartel country to get there. And so they really need our prayers for safety, you know, and blessings upon them and all that kind of stuff. So So keep them in your prayers all week. That'll end on Saturday. So just keep praying for them. But Father, tonight, I just thank you for this word. I know I can feel in my spirit, Lord, there's just some good stuff here. And I just pray over all of us, Lord, right now, that our minds will not be blinded. We're not going to give the enemy any place, and we're not going to have our minds blinded. But Lord, we're going to just believe you and ask you to open our eyes and to speak to us, Lord, so we can hear your voice clearly. So that that resurrection power that's on the inside of us, that life can just overwhelm death or anything else in our lives and bring about victory. And Lord, I praise you for it. And I thank you for it. And Lord, we just declare that is our heart's desire. We're going to continue to seek you and continue to just seek you and seek you and seek you, Lord, till we're walking in it in a fullness. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Glory.